Let's read it all together. And when they had so besought, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. Let's pray, read that last part.
Amen.
Starting with, and they were all filled.
Amen.
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 And they were all filled.
Amen.
They were all filled.
Amen.
They were all filled.
Amen.
All filled.
Amen.
All filled.
Amen.
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 They were all filled.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 They were filled.
Amen.
They began to speak.
Amen.
Amen.
They began to speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
With the spirit of boldness.
Amen.
Amen.
They were all filled.
Amen. Amen.
They were all filled.
Amen.
All filled.
Amen. All filled.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. Let's read that together. Amen. Ephesians 5:18.
Amen.
And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. Amen. Be filled in spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But be filled.
Amen. That's right.
Don't be drunk.
Amen.
Be filled.
Amen.
Be filled.
Amen.
Be filled.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to Matthew 7:7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Let's read this and also feed on it. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, ask and it shall be given.
Amen.
Ask and it shall be given.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ask.
Amen.
Ask.
Amen.
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 And it shall be given to you.
Amen.
It shall be given to you.
Amen.
It shall be given.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, it shall be given.
Amen.
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 Lord, make us the real askers.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh. Seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Knock and it shall be open.
Amen.
Knock
and it shall be open.
Amen. Oh, ask, seek, knock.
Amen.
Amen. And then lastly, John 15:16. John 15:16. Amen. Together. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I sent you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Amen. Oh, let's muse on this once again. Amen. You did not choose me.
Amen. You did not choose me.
Amen.
But I chose you.
Amen.
But I chose you.
Amen.
I chose you.
Amen.
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 That you should go forth.
Amen.
You should go forth.
Amen.
You should go forth.
Amen.
Go forth.
Amen.
Go forth.
Amen.
You should go forth.
Amen.
Go forth and bear fruit.
Amen.
That your fruit should remain.
Amen.
That your fruit should remain.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you ask the Father.
Amen. Whatever you ask the Father.
Amen.
Okay, tonight, in this fellowship with the young adults, as usual, I don't want to give a message. I want to talk to you. So take this as a kind of fellowship and not as a kind of a message in that way. When I came here, I had two big burdens on my heart, and as we were sitting here and praying, I said, no way, we can cover two burdens. We may end up getting none. So I have already decided we will chuck burden number two. And how about we make this meeting A, and let's plan on a meeting B.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Let's consider a time, maybe in March. Mm-hmm. And how about we this time we go to Santa Ana?
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
How about we go to Santa Ana to meet?
Amen.
Many of you don't even know where the Santa Ana meeting hall is. I guarantee you. Tom, do you know where it is? Oh, you know where it is. Okay. I'm giving him the test here. You've never been there. It's on Broadway, you know, close to Freeway 5. Very nice meeting hall. How about that? It's always meeting here. I'm getting tired of it. So let's go to, and then the next time we'll go to Huntington Beach. I don't know whether there's anyone from Huntington Beach here tonight. No? Oh, two of you. Okay. Then we'll go to San Juan Capistrano. But for sure, I like to have a meeting B. In fact, I have all this on meeting B that I'm not going to talk about tonight. Because I feel, at least within me, the Lord is quite burdened about getting through with something rather than just covering something. I think you agree with me, right? Okay. Now, tonight, I'd like to start this way. We've been starting this kind of burden for young adults for quite a while now, maybe 2 years or maybe plus, when we first raised this, you know, in the recovery, at least in this country. Actually, it's not just this country, even in the Far East. There is a slow but sure generational change taking place in the Lord's recovery. That is inevitable. It's not whether you cannot stop it, and I didn't start it. That is just how things are, okay? So there is another a generation of brothers and sisters that are coming of age, and I don't mean merely physically, although physically that is so. They are in the late 20s, 30s, and even some in the early 40s. But even spiritually speaking, there is a coming of age of many saints, which we really rejoice in the Lord's presence, are so thankful to Him that this time it does not seem that we are losing a whole generation. And Tom will agree with me, we experience that. Mm-hmm. At least in this country, we lost almost a whole generation of young people, bam, just like this, out of a single rebellion. That was back in the late 70s. Today, if that had not happened, the Lord's recovery will be much larger, much more widespread than it is today. Hundreds, literally hundreds, of promising, seeking young people that were brought in the Lord's recovery were knocked out by that terrible rebellion. That happened. Then in the late 80s, there was a second large rebellion that caused also a good number of young people to be knocked out. Not as wholesale away as in the late 70s, but still. And I will tell you, even in the this recent turmoil out there in the Midwest, many of us here are not that aware of that, but in the so-called Midwest area, there was such a turmoil. And I will tell you, the majority or a lot of the young people were wiped out, left the church, or drifted into the world, and so on. So these things did happen. But in spite of this, this time, I say this time because it takes 20 years for another generation to be raised up. This time, generally speaking, it seems the Lord has preserved a group of young people like yourself. And there's some ahead of you, and thank God there's some coming after you. And not only so, we're so thankful to the Lord that there is a decent percentage of this number that have passed through the FTTA. Now, don't think that isn't a small thing. That is not a small thing. Having been through the training or not having been through the training makes a great difference. So we have that. And today, we are seeing here and there the growing population, or a growing population, of young brothers and sisters in the church life. So that's why 2 or 3 years ago, we realized that if we don't take care of this matter and minister to this need, we would be unfaithful to the Lord, and we would not be fair to the Lord's recovery, because these ones, and let me say you all, are the ones that will be bearing the burden of the Lord's recovery from henceforth. You. Don't turn your head and say, who? You. You. You are the ones. And I say you not only to this people in this room, but people like you in that age bracket, having been through so many things. You are the generation. You are that age bracket. You are the ones that is supposed to take the Lord's recovery onward. Now, this does not mean every one of us will become some kind of elder or this or that. That doesn't mean that. And it doesn't take that. Although, we earnestly pray that out of this population, by God's grace and God's sovereignty, there will be a good number of brothers that will become proper leaders in the Lord's recovery. And we will also have a good number of sisters, although they will not become elders, but they will equally become pillars in the Lord's recovery. That should be. And let me tell you, time flies. Just like that. I tell you, another 10 years, some of you will be pressing 40. Some of you, in fact, will be in your 40s. And 10 years goes by like that. And so, we have set this pressing burden in the hearts of all the co-workers here and there to really fight with time. We're really fighting with time to minister to you. Again, I say not just to give you some messages and kind of talk down at you and kind of, you know, tell you to get on with the program. No, no, that is not the point. The point, the burden is a lot deeper than that, a lot deeper than that. You know, Lord's Day morning, this last Lord's Day was the Chinese-speaking conference, last meeting. Many of you were not there because it was Chinese-speaking. Some of you were. But let me tell you, that morning, Hank Hanegraaff came. Hank Hanegraaff with two Christian leaders, who are his acquaintances, came to that meeting and met with us brothers before the meeting outside. And many brothers have known him already, but I didn't. So I met him for the first time. I shook his hand. I said, "Brother Hank, thank you so much for what you have done, for sticking your neck out, you know, paying this price to stand." He said, "I'm only doing what's right. That's all. That's all," he said. And he and the other two pastor, you know, kind of brothers from Florida, they were there for 3.5 hours. That meeting was 3.5 hours. Half an hour Lord's table, 1.5 hour of message, and then another hour of reports, and another half hour of announcements. Actually, maybe 4 hours. They were just glued. They were just sitting there glued. This is Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man, the one who received the mantle from a certain Walter Martin, the first person ever in this country who rose up to oppose us back in the mid-1970s. And here he was sitting there, grinning from ear to ear and just taking it in. And up to this point, let me say something to you. Up to this point, our brother Hank, he went to China, and the China experience was a life-changing experience to him, as well as this other friend. His name is Mike. He also went on the same trip, and their life was just altered by visiting the local churches in China. And you can see some pictures in this book on the CIA Journal. There were a few pictures of these. Those are our saints meeting, especially in Nanjing, this big city of Nanjing. And then Hank not only went there, he went to the meetings in London, he went to meetings in here and there, and he was just in awe about our meetings. You know, he went to one prophesying meeting in Reading, England. And he just couldn't believe his eyes of saints, little potato saints, speaking and in a coherent and rich way. It just blew him away. And he said after that, he told Chris, he said, "You know, it's you guys, it's not just about defending you, making people know you're not a cult. No. What you have is what Christianity needs. You have to export this." So that's where Hank was for a long while. And recently, because of this journal came out, he started to get into it. You know, he didn't write that. It was written by Elliot Miller, the editor. He was the theologian, quote, of CRI. So he was the one who did the research. He was the one who wrote all those articles, not Hank. Hank wrote the foreword and the end or something. But so Hank got into that. Hank got into that. And I tell you now, in the pages between his Old and New Testament Bible, it's full of notes from what he's reading. Now you know what? Our brother Hank, this is according to Chris Weil, is beginning to see God's economy. He said, "This is this. this God's economy thing. I mean, he's seeing things. It's not just about, you know, you guys have great all members functioning meeting. You should export this. That is still a kind of little bit outward and superficial. He is seeing God's economy. And I don't know what will happen next. Actually, I think Gretchen say, maybe you should be get into the Lord, join the Lord's recovery. Gretchen told Hank. Well, why am I talking to you about this? I tell you, what is happening with this CI journal is the beginning of a new era. We were in an old era. Let me tell you, Brother Lee came to this country in 1958, brought the recovery here, and the church, his work was established in L.A., 1962. From 1962 to 1973, it was a time of revival. We're working on a history project documenting that area. That was like gangbusters. That was like all doors open. Right. I mean, Brother Lee just got names. All he needs is one name in one city, and he will drive to that city and visit those persons. That's how the recovery began in this country. 1973, 1974, we moved down to Orange County. Opposition began. So until now, how many years? 15 years. 35 years. Am I right? Since that time until now, brothers, we were in 35 years of what? Of being surrounded by terrible opposition. And with that without and a couple of turmoils within, the Lord's recovery in this country has been pushed into a bunker. I call it a bunker. And we've been living under a certain bunker, bunker mentality. The growth was slow. And the situation was quite dormant. In spite of Brother Lee coming back with the God-ordained way in 1988, with the new way that he discovered in Taiwan, he pushed and pushed and pushed, and it didn't happen. Eventually, he say, if no one does it, I've finished my speaking, that's it. That was the year before he died. Well, I'm not saying that nothing happened in the Lord's recovery in these years. And even in the last 10, 12 years since our Brother Lee's passing, a lot has happened. A lot of good things have happened. I would call it, that was a stage setting time, the last 12 years. And with even the Lord's sovereignty, with these aggressive contacts that the brothers are making, in a very sovereign way, if you trace all the way back, it really began with the Bible smuggling into China back in the late 90s. One thing after another, some of the people in Christianity in this country became our friends. One thing eventually to Hank, and now this. I tell you, this is huge. This CIA journal is a bomb. I was told, and I have to verify that this time Brother Hank came to here, supposedly to talk to Rick Warren. You know who Rick Warren is? Saddleback Community, the largest mega church, one of the largest. Rick Warren is the pastor who prayed at Obama's inaugural. Do you know that? There was a pastor who prayed. That was Rick Warren, the one who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life about us. I'll tell you, dear saints, the tables are being turned in this country. Slowly, but surely. And there's every reason to anticipate a changing of the situation so that the Lord's recovery could continue where we stopped in 1973 again, with a prevailing spread. You know, BFA has been in function for 10 years. And all these 10 years, we've been sowing seeds. And I still believe, with all the prayers that have been poured out, these seeds were strategically sown at the right strategic time. Amen. And many of these will bear fruit in the coming years. Amen. It's getting things ready. Amen. One thing after another, I'll tell you. And the Lord has even worked on the oneness of the body. The body, the Lord's recovery, has never been so blended, so one like today. Many of you don't appreciate this because you don't have the historical background like we have. But believe me, that is what's happening. The stars are lining up, so to speak. The Lord, we have to observe the Lord's doing. We have to be aware of the situation when we go on with the Lord. And this is the situation. So within and without, the Lord is preparing something. I just kind of feel it in my bones, in my spirit, that there's every reason to look forward to 35 years of growth. Amen. Of spread. You think the Lord's recovery should have only 25,000? The Lord's recovery should have 100,000. And not be too much. Agree? Amen. In this country of 300 million? Now, all of this, I'm giving you the context to tell you, to impress you, where you fit in this picture. You are the ones who are now prepared by the Lord, raised up by the Lord, at the cusp, at the threshold of this new move of the Lord. Some of us, we are getting older. We're not giving up. We're not retiring. Don't you even dare think about that. But I'll tell you, the fact remains that we're getting older. We can only do so much. The energy belongs to you. Youth belongs to you. Time is in your hands. Brothers and sisters, today, tonight, I'm not speaking just to make you feel good, you know, just to kind of give you some self-esteem. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you the truth. And I want you to receive this in a most solemn way, in a most serious way. It's not like tomorrow things will happen like that. No, it won't happen that way. But it will happen gradually and surely. And I like to see, and all of us brothers like to see, a generation of young adult saints ready to take on this challenge, to face this need, and to become the vanguard, the spearhead in our cooperation with the Lord's move. Amen. And that's your turn, brothers and sisters. It's your turn. It really is. Don't be ambitious. Don't say, what's in this for me? May the Lord purify your hearts, that there's nothing in you but Christ and His church. There's nothing in you but His recovery. There's nothing in you except the propagation of this ministry of the age. There's nothing in you except for the spread of His testimony, for the building up of His body to bring Him back. There's nothing in you except that. May the Lord purify your hearts. But I'll tell you, in the last chapter of Daniel, those who are made pure, purified, those who are being made white, they should be the ones who show strength and take action. They should do, in King James, that's all I remember, do exploits. They should not hunker down. They should not be caring for their own sealed houses. They should not be engrossed and entangled with the affairs of their own lives. They should rise up. They should do things for God. The Lord says, Whatever I do, what work I've done, you will do also. And greater than these, you will do. Greater than these. We're supposed to do things greater than what the Lord Jesus has done. And each generation, as it nears the Lord's coming, a step closer to the Lord's return, they should do even greater things. You should not be young people with no vision, with no view. Get up in the morning, just go to work and get that paycheck. Raise up a nice little family with a few kids. Have a nice marriage. Do your thing. And then, by the way, you have a wonderful, sweet church life that you come to. And kind of minimally, you know, to satisfy, placate your conscience and, you know, do what is required for a good brother and sister. No, brothers and sisters, if I were you sitting where you are, I refuse that kind of existence. I reject even that kind of existence. And I'm not saying those systems are sinful. It's not in that realm. It's not in that realm. I would just plunge myself, vow myself into an existence to carry out God's need today. And God has a need right now in your lifetime. In your lifetime, brothers and sisters. I'm afraid that even this young adults fellowship, so many meetings, you know, in trainings, conferences, could even become a bit dull, common. Oh, another young adults thing. Oh, another, you know, young adult thing. They probably will tell us to, you know, get vital or something and make sure you do morning watch and get with some companions and read your Bible, you know. Get on to Living to Him website. Check it out. You know what I mean? I tell you, that's already common. That's already common. I'm not saying that is not necessary. All these things are necessary. All these things are good. In fact, tonight I'm going to talk about some more. But I want to elevate your view. Why are we doing this? What is this young adult's burden all about anyway? It's not just to, oh, we're some young adults, we better make sure they're occupied and they're happy or something. No, no, no. It's because you have a commission. Amen. The recovery has a commission for you.
Amen.
The Lord, the head, your master, has a commission for you.
Amen.
For you personally and for you as a group, corporately.
Amen.
And if you don't fulfill that, no one else will. But I believe some will. Some will rise to the occasion. Some will say, I'm on the Lord's side. Some will say, Lord, here I am, send me. Some will give up their soul lives. Some will give up their futures. Some will give up their priorities and take the Lord's and the recovery's as theirs. I like to see not one or two or three or five or ten. I like to see an army. An army of young adults in all the churches rising up, responding to this call in the coming days, months, years, becoming more and more useful to the Lord in this kind of a way. Oh, I tell you, even with this speaking, brothers, if you catch, and sisters, if you catch this burden, if I were you, I will go home tonight and kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, what about me? Where am I in this? What do you want from me, Lord? What should I do, Lord? How should I adjust, regulate myself for this, Lord? What do you want? Lord, here I am. I give you the consent. I'm ready to comply with whatever you ask of me. I'm ready to obey the Holy Spirit. I'm ready to follow you. Lord, put your heart in mine. Make me one with your heartbeat. Lord Jesus, don't let me miss this opportunity. Could be once in a lifetime. Could be once in a lifetime. And I hope we will not stop there. You will consecrate almost on a daily basis for this. For this. Don't you worry. Oh, what will happen? Will the elders assign me now to do something? Don't worry about that. Don't even think about that. You just give. You just present your body a living sacrifice and present your members as weapons of righteousness unto sanctification. Now, tonight, what I want to talk to you about is this. I feel, in my observation of the young adults, many are stirred up. Many are somewhat incited. Many are even entering into further function. Thank the Lord for that. Not everyone. I wish there were more. But there is this trend, this trending up. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, to be perfectly frank, I also observe a certain lack, a certain shortage. Not that has nothing to do with the intention or even the burden, but it has to do with the ability. The ability to carry that out. Are you with me? In other words, what I am observing is, what I have detected is a shortage of power, of energy. You know, Paul says in Romans 15 that I am an energizing priest of the gospel. Not just a priest, but an energized priest. Amen. Full of energy. Full of strength. Amen. Full of ability. Full of power to carry out the God-given commission. It's one thing to have the desire. It's another thing to have the means to carry out that desire. I now recall the story in John chapter 5 with this impotent man, you know, besides the pool of Bethesda. And he's been like this for 38 years, a long time. And he was there by the pool with people like him, waiting for the angel to come and stir that pool of water. And when that comes, if you get in, supposedly you'll get healed, but there's a caveat. You have to be the first one in. And this guy didn't have much of a chance because for 30 years he was just impotent. He was what? He couldn't even get up. He was on a mattress. And he was looking for people. I don't know where he gets the money to carry him. So it depends on how fast these people are. And since it's been 38 years, it must tell us he never made it. Otherwise, he would have been healed already a long time ago. He was still waiting there. It's not working. Impotent. I like to use this word impotent. I am concerned there is a certain kind of spiritual impotence in many of us. I'm not saying that you are dead or you are, you know what I mean, in that kind of way. But I must be very truthful. There is a certain impotence or inability to execute to carry out. And you have to know that this battle that we're fighting, this task that we're given, requires a lot of power. Because this is not, you know, just doing some project at your work. The amount of strength that is needed to get this done is phenomenal. It calls for something special. In fact, it calls for something supernatural. It calls for something out of this world. Your energy will not do it, no matter how strong you are. You need another energy. You need another power source. Now, brothers, tonight, I really believe this is of the Lord. And actually, this speaking should not be just for young adults. It should be for all the saints. Amen. For a long time, 35 years, we've been held up back by a bunker mentality. You know what I mean? Afraid. Everyone is going after us. Everyone, we preach the gospel, you're a cult, you know. You witness Lee. So we better not say anything. We have gotten ourselves into a passive bunker state. But not only so, not only our mentality has become bunkered, but I tell you, our spiritual strength has also diminished. There is not the kind of explosive power, spiritual power, in the local churches. In the matters of the church life, in the area of the gospel, in the area of prayer, in the area of service, in the area of meetings, in the area of shepherding, in all these areas, there is a shortage of explosive power. You know, these right now it's the Winter Olympics, right? In Winter Olympics, these guys or these people, they do this downhill racing or the luge or whatever. The key is the start. Am I right? These people have, even these speed skaters, have thighs like this. like probably my body. My waist is their thigh. I mean, look at them. They're so disproportionate. Their feet are their legs are like this. But I tell you, it takes that. They just explode out of those gates. They just blow out of those gates. Am I right? Downhill or whatever they do. I mean, if you don't, you're done. You're finished. I tell you, those explosive power is lacking in the Lord's recovery today. We have a lot of good brothers and sisters, positive. Really, I really mean it. Thank God. Yeah, even in a way, you know, quite given. But the power is lacking. I wouldn't say no power. You remember I gave the example of the prayer meeting, this gleaming Mercedes or Rolls Royce, whatever, gleaming, beautiful, beautiful. But you open the hood, it's a, you know, two-cylinder. It's something for the motorcycle. This beautiful, beautiful, shiny, cutting-edge, you know, vehicle. And you open it, it's just a two-stroke machine. You know what I mean? Something's wrong with that picture. You know, the Lord's recovery is gleaming. You agree with me? I mean, this thing is beautiful. This thing is, the Lord's recovery is beautiful. You know, that day, Lord's Day, oh, I tell you, these brothers who came from the denominations, they came. They just couldn't believe what they see. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing. You know, sometimes we're so used to this, you know, it's just common stuff. But a new one who come here, like, whoa, you know what I mean? But should we be happy by their woe? In my barometer, I tell you, we're not there. We're absolutely not there compared to what we have experienced in the early days. Today, what we lack is not the truth. No, we have it. What we lack is not the practice. We have it, the God-ordained way. Really, really. What we lack is not even the so-called life practices. You know what we're lacking? Power. Power, dear saints. Strength. Dynamism. You know that word power in Greek is dynamo. Dynamo. Like dynamite. We're short of TNTs. I really mean it. You know, gospel is a fire. Gospel is not, you know, just, no. Gospel requires power. Prayer. You want to read, in Irvine, we want to build up the prayer life. That requires power. Power. A lot of power. Week after week to meet, to still come to the meeting and function, let me tell you, that requires power. And you come to the meeting to lift a meeting up, to bring a meeting to the heavenlies, it takes power. Amen. Even to shepherd people requires power. So this is my burden. Now, I like to talk to you tonight, and I hope this word gets out. How do you get that power? What is that power? Where is that power? Well, let me tell you, the power is only one thing. The power is the Spirit. Is the Spirit. Our power is not anything but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the all-inclusive Spirit. Therefore, today I feel, among so many things we're pursuing, it's about time that we make up our mind to pursue one more thing. You know what is that? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Both inwardly and outwardly. And those of you who have been through the training, you know all about that already. Both essentially and economically. That is what we need right now. And according to the leading we have in the ministry, and according to the experience of many saints through the ages who have such experience, and don't worry right now, I'm talking about some kind of Pentecostal thing. Forget about that. I'm talking about the genuine, scriptural experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is what we need to pursue. Actually, I don't mind if the church in Irvine, along with our prayer life these days, begins such a pursuit. And tonight I'm going to tell you how. Not that hard. First of all, let me say, when I talk this way again, don't you have this kind of Pentecostal concept. I'm going to tell you all to pray for 3 days with fasting, and then you're kind of delirious, and some kind of power, boom, fall on you. You just get up and start preaching the gospel, and everyone falls down wherever you go. You touch people, they fall down. You blow on, and they fall down. Forget about that. That is Pentecostal. I'm not talking about that kind of power. All right? You get it? So don't be afraid. Don't think that way. But on the other hand, I have an other hand here. Don't say, well, Since we're not talking about this, it's okay. We don't need to get so excited. We don't need to get so, you know, so. No, no, no. I tell you, if you're full of the Spirit, it shows. Amen. Look. The verses I have you read in Acts 2, Acts 4. It says after they besought, that means after they pray, the place was shaken, and they were filled. This is plethro. That means fill outwardly, fill economically with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I tell you, there is issue. There is practical, visible issue when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is boldness. There is power. There is authority. In your service, in your gospel, in your speaking in the meetings. And there in Ephesians 5, it talks about the inward filling. Don't be drunk with wine. So we know it's inward, right? Because it gets into you. But be filled in spirit, speaking, psalming. Am I right?
Amen.
Singing. There is an issue in your life. The inward filling is for your a vital life. The outward filling is for a what? For a powerful ministry and work. We need both. And the Spirit is the powering element for both. Oh, I tell you, I feel that in light of this, we are very short. You know, even tonight coming to this meeting, my, if we are all powered with this Spirit, the meeting won't start the way we started. You would be revving, room, this 700 horsepower V12. You know what I mean? But I came here, I opened the hood, two strokes. So this guy has to stand up, fill me now, this cranking up this Model T Ford, fill me now. Oops, back to the beginning. Okay, let's go again. That's what I experienced just now. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm not blaming you. I'm telling you as it is. It should be, before I came, we brothers come down, this place is flying. I mean, everyone's spirit is hot.
Amen.
Everyone's prayer is what? Abundant.
Amen.
You'll be just fighting over one another to sing, to pray. Am I right?
Yeah.
That is only normal. That's not unusual. That is not some kind of special, the Holy Spirit came Wednesday night kind of thing. Once every 12 years or something. No! That should be normal. Sometimes I just want to come around and shake you up. But what can you do? I mean, you know, it's two strokes, it's two strokes. There's nothing you can do about that. Well, you want to really mean business to fulfill the Lord's commission in this age? You really mean it? You need power. You just don't do it. Oh, I want to do it. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay. We, brothers and sisters, need to seek the infilling and outfilling of the Holy Spirit in a definite way. Not in a Pentecostal way. I mean, not like Pentecostalism, but in a proper way. You have to set your sight on that. And I feel these days it is so sovereign of the Lord that we're in the burden of prayer. I tell you, these two things are like this. They are together. In fact, these saints in Jerusalem, after they prayed, the Holy Spirit filled them. The filling of the Spirit and prayer are together. So I feel these are good times to talk about this. Even Wednesday night prayer here in Irvine, thank the Lord the number has come up. In fact, this Tuesday night here on the English-speaking side, the number I think has even increased some. But I feel, sitting in the meeting, the power is not commensurate with the number. The power, you know, the power of prayer is not yet commensurate with the number we have in the meetings. Now, let me give you several things. How to get the filling of this Spirit. All right? Number one, you have to contact the Lord. Sounds simple. Sounds so simple. You have to contact the Lord often. And not only often. Tonight I want to make a point. When I say contact the Lord, it's not just you in the car kind of, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. That won't cut it. That's good. Keep doing it, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about a deliberate, living, definite, and prevailing contact with the Lord. It may not happen every day. It may not even happen every week. But it must happen. I just got a brother handed to me a little Bible. It's in my car. I didn't bring it with me. Oh no, I left it at home. This little Bible in Chinese. I can even hardly read it now. It's so small, the print. I said, where did this come from? I opened it to Brother Minoru Chen. I said, whoa. May the Word of God become your daily spiritual food. And then I saw the signature. It's an old brother in Hong Kong who gave it to me 1967, August 25th, right before I got on the boat to come to USA. And that brought back a lot of memories. Because that very spring, March of 1967, this senior in high school who is about to come to this country, I tell you, I experience the infilling and outfilling of the Holy Spirit in a definite way. Brothers and sisters, you need that experience. Don't be afraid of it. You need that experience. The kind of contact with the Lord there is not just, oh Lord Jesus. I tell you, the kind of contact with the Lord is, my, you just open your whole being, every fiber, every cell. You are just like laid bare in the Lord's presence. You are just bathing in the presence of the Spirit. I tell you, you and Him are just so one. There is absolutely nothing in between, so much so you don't know whether you're in heaven or on earth. Amen. You are just lost, lost in the Spirit. You pray prayers that you would never think of praying. You will have utterances that you would usually don't have. Nothing is common anymore. And I tell you, something happens. Something takes place in a what? In a rare way, in a particular way. Something that changes your life forever. You experience the Spirit. And you read the biographies of many servants of the Lord who have that kind of experience. Now don't be afraid of what I'm talking about. And don't look for certain kind of experience either. You just spend time to contact the Lord in this kind of way. Very, very definite. You know, Brother Lee had that experience in the mountaintop. You all know that, right? He was so dead after 8 years with the brethren. He was just, don't know what to do. Then one morning he got up to the mountain and there, and he just cried out to God. He didn't even know how to pray. He just cried out to God. He's just tired of this dead existence with all the knowledge. And the Spirit came to him. You know so much. You know all the things of the Bible. Look, you are so dead. You know, that's how the Spirit comes to you. And he was just weeping. He was crying. He was calling on the Lord. And in that, he experienced the coming of the Spirit. He experienced the filling of the Spirit. And he just became different. And he got back home. People say, what happened to you? Even he didn't know. And for several months after that, every morning he did that in that mountain. He became a different person. He was vitalized. He was enlivened. So, dear saints, contact the Lord. Amen. Pay a price. Amen. Don't have general, usual, common Amen. Contact. Amen. Have deep contact. Amen. Prevailing contact. And don't let the Lord go so easy. I'm not saying you should look for feeling. But I tell you, when the Lord meets you like that, you know, something occurred. Number one, okay? You have to do it, brothers and sisters. You have to find some time with the Lord. Number two, confession. Confession. When you're with the Lord, I tell you, oh, when the Spirit really meets a person, always it is to convict. That's the Spirit's job, to convict of this sin, of this worldliness, of this thing and that thing, of offenses, of this and that. Sometimes the Spirit will reach out to years before. The Spirit will remind you of this, remind you of that. How about this? How about that? Some even would be so convicted, they would just fall on the floor. That's what happened to Brother Lee. Some even roll on the floor with conviction. And when in that situation, you don't have some kind of political negotiation with the Lord, I tell you at that time, your very confession just ushers in the cleansing of the blood. That ushers in the forgiveness of sin. You stand up, you just feel like you are so clean, like you never felt ever before. You just don't know how a person can feel so clean, so light, so relieved, so forgiven, so joyous, so happy with the Spirit. I tell you, we need this. You know, confession actually is to empty. Empty, empty, so that the Spirit can replace and fill. And I tell you, the more thorough, the better, as the Spirit leads. I'm not saying you go digging, you know, in a kind of a introspective way. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit's digging is more deep than your introspection. Because He is the one who searches the hearts and the inward parts. That's the Spirit. And don't cover it up. He who covers his sin will not prosper. Just let the Lord speak. Let the Lord touch. Will he touch one, you confess one. He touch two, you confess two. You just follow the Spirit and keep confessing. Sometimes for hours. Half an hour. An hour. You just confess. It is like coming under the Niagara Falls, being washed and showered and showered and showered until every pore is clean. You feel holy. You actually have become holy. And not just once, of course, right? We need to wash again from time to time. Now, number three. Consecration. The way to experience The filling of the Spirit is consecration. That means to yield, surrender to the Lord completely. Always, when there is the confession of sin, the result is the Holy Spirit filling our hearts, as in Romans 5. And when the love of God fills our hearts, the inevitable issue is we give ourselves to the Lord. We just consecrate to the Lord. My, we even consecrate in a thorough way. Lord, my eyes, Lord, my hands, Lord, my feet, Lord, my thinking, Lord, my brain, Lord, my life, Lord, my marriage, Lord, my future, Lord, my kids, Lord, my job, Lord, I tell you, you just give and give and give to the Lord. The more you consecrate, you are ready to be filled with the Spirit. Trust me. Trust me. Number four, you have to enter into prayer. See, this is why these days the prayer life is so good. Amen. Brothers and sisters, ride this wave. There's a wave right now of prayer. This wave is a wave of the Spirit. It's a flow. Ride this flow. Ride this flow. You go faster. I really mean it. When the Spirit moves, move with it. Move with Him. So, pray. Pray more. I tell you, when you pray again, you'll be filled again. Amen. The first time, it's hard to be filled. But the more you pray, the more easy to be filled. Amen. Right? Amen. Your car still needs to be filled from time to time, right? The gas tank. You should get filled again. By what? By prayer. Amen. By prayer. Young adult saints, pray more. Amen. I like to see everywhere we turn, there are two and three young adults praying there. Their gas pump right there. You know? When you pray, you are pumping high octane, you know? Right into your spirit. That's what praying does. And you come to the prayer meeting, more pumping. Every chance you have, you pray. Twos and threes. Pray. Pumping the gas. Lastly, the last thing, the way to be filled with the Spirit. Obey the Spirit. Amen. Obey. Follow the Spirit. Don't buck the Spirit. Don't fight the Spirit. When the Spirit anoints you this way, obey it. Obey the teaching of the anointing. When the Spirit leads you in this way, follow Him. Amen. When the Spirit even requires this of you, say amen. Amen. When the Spirit is leading you this way, don't reject. Don't quench the Spirit, in other words. Follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Be obedient. Be compliant to the Spirit. The Spirit says, I want this. Amen. Amen. Don't go there. Amen. Amen. Put this down. Amen. Amen. Speak now. Amen. Follow the Spirit. If you do all these five things, brothers and sisters, you just do them. I tell you, it is not that hard to have the filling of the Spirit. When the time comes, the gospel needs to be preached. The prayer needs to be made. The meeting is there. I tell you, you'll be right there. You will not just be there kind of dragging your feet. You'll be there ready to explode. You are explosive, an explosive member to bring others into the Spirit. Amen. And usher a whole meeting into the Spirit. Amen. And you will be able to bear fruit. I tell you, even barrenness is the inability to bear fruit. Amen. Yeah. It's nothing with intention. You have no ability. Your womb is dead. I tell you, this kind of filling of the Spirit will open your womb once again. That you can get people saved. Oh, I'm just so burdened. The church here should have a mighty increase. Amen. This hall should be busting open. Am I right? Amen. Shouldn't it?
Yes.
Not just a campaign, not just some kind of, you know, just to, for show. No, as a normal situation, it should be that way. Amen. We're building a hall 3. We now have hall 2. We should be growing, increasing. Amen. And every small group should be growing. Am I right? With new ones, teeming with new believers.
Yeah.
And we should be all the time seeking the dormant ones, the weak ones, the backsliding ones, bringing them back. I tell you, how can you have that kind of energy? How do you overcome this body of this death, the body of sin that doesn't want to do these things? Only by a very explosive and powerful spirit.
Amen.
Only by being filled with the Spirit. Now, there's two sides. One is the inward filling. One is the outward filling. And so, the inward filling, I would say, I use the first two things. By contacting the Lord and by confessing and by consecrating, you can have the infilling. And that is, you and I need to be just thoroughly open vessels. And not just saying, fill me now. But really mean it. Fill me, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I need the mighty filling
Amen.
Of your spirit. Amen. That is of your dear self.
Amen.
I don't want to know all these things about the spirit and all the doctrines, all the theology. I want to be filled with him. And so you would become a filled vessel, even an overflowing vessel. Wherever you go, you are just overflowing. You're not empty. You're not half empty. You're full of pneuma. You're pneumatized. You're full of gas. You're full of air. You're filled with spiritual propellant. And the brothers say, go surf. Boom, you're there. You know? And not this dragging. Oh, I'm tired. I'm not sure. Find someone else, please. I'll be ready in 6 months. None of that. None of that. You are filled with gas, petrol, right? You're singing, you know? You're speaking. You are irrepressible in the meetings. Nothing can suppress you. You're a ball that you push, the deeper you push, the higher it jumps up, like Brother Lee. Can you be like that? You bet. We're supposed to all be like this. It's about time in the church life we have that
Amen.
Kind of church life. Now, the other outward filling of the Spirit, I say, you just pray, this last 2 points, right? You pray. You pray starting with the essential filling, you ended up with the economical filling. You pray. You don't stop praying. In fact, you pray beyond a certain line. You always hold back. You pray to that line, you come back, you pray to the line, you come back. You never cross the line. Cross the line into the realm of economical filling. There would be power with you. There would be authority with you. It's about time. And to obey the Spirit. Obedience to the Spirit, not quenching the Spirit, will cause you to be filled. This picture, the first picture is to open up a vessel. The second picture, listen, is to hoist the sail. Because the infilling is with the air, the pneuma. The outward filling is the same air, but now it is wind. Even a stormy wind in Acts 2. So the wind can blow, but you have no sails up. So you never catch the wind. You don't need to worry about the wind. You need to worry about whether your sails is up. How do you get your sails up? Pray. Follow the Spirit. Your sails are always up. When the wind comes, you are just off to the races. Whatever it may be. How about this, saints? Am I too much? You may think I'm too much. I'm kind of crazy. No. You know what I am? I'm normal. This is normal. This is normal. You can be like this. You can speak like this. Irvine, I tell you, we need. The Lord is doing something quite gracious. But I'm not happy. We need a breakthrough.
Amen.
In prayer. And in the increase of the gospel. And in a certain revival of the saints. Of the church life. Don't think I'm just being reminiscing the old days. Let's go back to Eldon. No, I am more ambitious than that. We're looking for days better than Eldon. The glory of the latter is greater than the one before. Don't you think we should look forward to something more great?
Amen.
More mighty?
Amen.
The latter reign?
Amen.
As we are closer even by so many more years
Amen.
To the Lord's coming back. And with this hungry world, the door of the word open to us now. With these blockades being just crumbling down. And brothers and sisters, it's your turn. It's your turn to carry on a dynamic church life that matches what the Lord wants. You cannot manufacture it. I cannot manufacture it. And I'm not stirring no campaign here. But I know the Spirit is the key. The Spirit is the key. We need the Word. But in some ways, we have the Word. But we're short of the Spirit. So even the Word does not, you know, fly. Is not so effectual. Because the Spirit. You know, the Word is the payload, you know. Here you have the Saturn V. You have a 7 or whatever. You have a huge big payload. A part of the space station. I don't know how many tons. It's wonderful. It's sitting there. How are you going to get this thing off that launch pad, overcome tremendous gravity, and get into orbit? Ooh, I tell you, that explosive power is just millions of pounds to get this payload up. And I submit that today in the Lord's recovery, we have a payload that is heavier than ever before in our 90-year history. But thank God it does not depend on one person or one church or even one country. If in the whole world, in the Lord's recovery, we would be brought into this revival of the Spirit, we will push this payload into the heavens. That is God's economy throughout this whole earth. Let us start here, shall we?
Amen.
Don't say, oh, we are just a few in Huntington Beach. We are just a few in Santa Ana. I challenge you, it always starts with only a few.
Amen.
But if those few would experience this, this will spread.
Amen.
Okay, I think this is good enough. I don't know what to do now. If you want to say something or pray or whatever.
Prayer or fortunate or even possibly lucky for certain individuals to be at certain places and times in history. But it's even more rare, more fortunate, more lucky for someone to recognize that they're at that place. You'll have whole generations that will be at pivotal moments, yet not even have a clue that they're in that moment. I feel like we are at one of these key turning points in the recovery, and that we are about to enter into a new era. But not everyone should be so fortunate to hear such a word tonight. And even, hopefully among us, we would be those who could really hear the word. Not just listen, but really hear the word. And realize that there is a call here. A call for some who would enter into this kind of living. This contact with the Lord.
Amen.
This confession.
Amen.
This prayer, right? This consecration and this obeying.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
That we would be those to recognize the place that we are in and respond accordingly.
Amen.
How about let's just... Oh, did you want to say something? Yes.
I appreciated the utterance Brother Monroe gave about the bunker. And I just realized, I think that utterance finally put the words into the feeling I've had for so many years, and many of us, I've had friends, good friends, tell me I'm in a cult. We've had new ones. We call them, sorry, I can't come anymore, you're a cult. I recently was on an airplane trip to Australia, and for 14 hours I was next to a lady who all she wanted to do was talk about how much she loved the Lord and she was a Christian, and I was so timid to even open up the truth in the Bible. She went to Fuller Seminary. She was a professor there. And I was timid. And even today, right before this meeting, one of my coworkers was asking me about my time in quote-unquote seminary before I took my job. And again, just a non-denominational Bible school. But I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being in the bunker.
Amen.
Right? We've given up so much.
Amen.
To come this way. And now the opportunity is ripe. We need to blast out of the bunker.
Amen.
Right? We need a bunker buster bomb to come in and break it open.
Yes.
And I think this article might have been that bomb.
Amen.
Right? It's opening up. We have a way to go and share the truth.
Amen.
And we're armed, even with ones that have opposed us in the past, now standing behind us. So I don't know what I'm going to do now. Just pray.
Amen.
Get into those points.
Amen.
Get filled.
Amen.
But hallelujah, we can have such an encouragement.
Amen.
To no longer be the way we've been.
Amen.
At least the way I've been.
Amen.
So timid. Yeah. So afraid to speak these things.
Amen.
With boldness.
Amen.
I must agree that the time has changed. We are entering into the age of acceptance. And I don't have any point of reference or what it's like in L.A. back then, but I don't really even know what's to expect, what's before us. But I do know there's a lot more work to be done. And everyone is open to us. There's a lot more work to do. And I must agree with your brother's observation that what we are lacking right now is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, I agree with that because I experienced it myself. As I'm serving full-time, and I look back, I realized when I was a student, I desired to serve the Lord, but I don't have the ability to do it. After I was trained, went through the full-time training, I had somewhat more energy, more ability to serve the Lord. But I realized in my service of the Lord, there is still a lack of energy to even maintain the consistency of week to week, even something coming to a meeting and uplifting the meeting. I just realized there is a need. There's a definite lack. I would say that there's a lot of dealing that we need to do before the Lord. And there's a lot of things that we need to give up. We need one of the three C's, right? Consecrations. And, contacting the Lord, consecrating ourselves, and confessing. There's a lot of things that we need to confess. May we take up, the burden, even though we do not know what to expect, but we must get ourselves ready and hoist our sail.
Amen.
much enjoyed the first point that we have to contact the Lord.
Amen.
And I just realized in all of our experience, we have had times where we really contacted the Lord and where we really touched something or we wouldn't be here. And I was just considering, as Brother Minora was speaking about his personal times, just about some of mine. And I realized that it's not enough just to have a few landmark times, even a few landmark consecrations. But this has to be a daily thing, every day, touching the Lord. And this dynamo is in our spirit, so available. And Brother Minora shared that this contacting the Lord has to be deliberate, living, and prevailing. And that this must happen. Praise the Lord that this one is in us and he is so available.
Mercy to hear this word. Just really impressed tonight, related to where we are, as Brother Mark brought out here, and Brother Minoro, that a turning point in the Lord's recovery, and a specific word being spoken to us in the way of even a commission. Realizing that, you know, things are progressing in the Lord's recovery, and a change is being made with regards to being in a bunker mentality versus being on the attack, an aggressor, right? And in the process of this change, a lot of things are going on. Even the situation in the recovery is good. Outwardly, the situation in Christianity being more accepting to us. There's still a need. There's still a lack among us to really get this thing off the ground. And it's summarized in this word, power, the energy, the strength of the Lord's recovery. I just really feel we need to, I mean, personally, with regards to this word that we heard, just go home and just ask the Lord, on the one hand, where do I fit in all this, right? You know, what's happening, right? Where does each one of us, because each one of us does have a place in this. And then secondly, to realize to go before the Lord. And that first point that Aaron brought out, we need to contact the Lord.
Amen.
We need to touch the Lord.
Amen.
And from this touching, that brings in the Spirit.
Amen.
But the Spirit comes, the first function, it's just to convict us.
Amen.
Where are you? You know, who are, look at yourself, right? This is, and then that brings in the confessing and the cleansing of our being, right? And we're touching the Lord, the love comes in. There's the consecrating,
Amen.
The giving ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And then more and more we're just brought into this prayer,
Amen.
And then we're brought into the leading of the anointing, the experience of anointing, obeying the Lord.
Amen.
And so two things, you know, just going home. You know, touch the Lord, kneel before the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, where does each one of us
Amen.
Fit in this picture? And then secondly, we need to go to touch the Lord in the
Amen.
Definite way.
Amen.
Take this opportunity to make a public consecration that I'm in.
Amen.
I don't know what this means. I want to go home and really enter into these 5 points, but I'm in.
Amen.
I you know, I feel like we're really in a good situation. You know, even Hank Hanegraaff was at the training center on Monday. He was there, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't know that he had showed up on Lord's Day, but I just really feel that we're in a good situation. And but even in the church in Philadelphia. The Lord still calls for the overcomers.
Amen.
And even in a good situation, I want to be
Amen.
An overcomer.
Amen.
I want to have these definite touches with the Lord
Amen.
where you get lost in the Lord. I don't quite know what that means. I think I've had some definite landmarks like Aaron has alluded to, but praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this word.
Amen.
I just feel it's such a blessing that we could even just hear this word.
Amen.
And I'm in. I just want to consecrate right now.
Amen.
That I am publicly, I want to consecrate, but when I get home again, I am totally in.
Amen.
But you're not living. You, are you with me? you can just do morning revival, and I come to the meeting. Right. You know, I do everything right, but I don't sense power. Mm. I don't feel life. I don't feel it, and I don't see fruit. You know, fruit is a big test. I don't see fruit. Right. I don't see people you're caring for. Yeah. I don't see your growth in the bearing of burdens. I don't see the signs of you in the meetings lifting, you know, adding to the church. All of this, it's a kind of a minimal good existence, kind of a you know, yeah. Not bad, really not bad. Thank the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord. Amen. That we're, you know, we're doing this, but that won't cut it. Mm. I am this tonight calling and saying, come forward. Amen. There's a lot more territory.
Amen.
Waiting for you young adults to get migrate into.
Amen.
This vast expanse of Christ, this vast land, good land, of all these things of fighting the Canaanites of going into mining the stones and the copper, going to get the water, going to produce all the things, building the house of God, establishing the kingdom in this good land. Mm. We are not there. Mm. I wish you will see that. The Lord is already so merciful to us that we're able to give that much to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That we're sitting here tonight and our heart is for Christ and the church. Thank Him for this. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, today the Lord wants more.
Amen.
Not for us, but for Him.
Amen.
He needs people that will cross that line.
Amen.
Really, really enter into the good land.
Amen.
If there would be some who would take the lead, who would be the vanguard to do this, I tell you, many will follow.
Amen.
Many will follow.
Amen.
Who will do this?
Amen.
I sense the Lord's calling.
Amen.
But again, it is not by your determination, you know, your kind of a good heart tonight. I tell you, the key is the Spirit.
Amen.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I cannot do it. Oh, I cannot fulfill it. No need even to think that way.
Amen.
Just practice these things.
Amen.
By yourself, in twos and threes, in your small group,
Amen.
Together,
Amen.
In a definite way, and in time. I'm not expecting some miracle tomorrow morning after our prayer tonight. I tell you, trust me, in time. As we give the Spirit this kind of further cooperation,
Amen.
The Spirit will move.
Amen.
The wind will blow.
Amen.
I tell you, we will be in places that we have never dreamed that we can be in, spiritually speaking.
Amen.
Again, not for just for our feeling good, but for the Lord's need.
Amen.
At this very hour.
Amen.
Let's cooperate with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe we can end with some prayers.
Amen.
Huh?